Yes, it is the first Sunday of the year, and in January, especially the first week, what do you do?
Excuse
me? We're cold. Oh, yeah, it's cold outside. It's cold outside. But only January, usually we think about, oh, what am I going to do this year? Do you have some kind of resolution or goal of the year? Things to do or not to do? How many of them? Yeah, some people, a friend of mine, she always talking about, oh, diet, having some stuff. But yeah, I heard that for over 20 years, but it happens, resolution. And what kind of dream do you have for this year? Dream. When you hear this word, what comes to your mind? Dream. Do you feel excited and thrilled? Do you feel your heart beating so fast? Or does it sound like something very, very old? So old that is in a small box that you played with when you were little and you don't care anymore. Then when you are little, what was your dream? What made your heart beating fast? What was that? And do you have the same dream? What is it now? Is it about a financial dream? Or your job? Or your family dream? So it is the first Sunday of the year, and from now, we will have a sermon series on dreams, something much bigger as we begin this year. It is a God-sized dream that God has created each one of us with a plan and purpose to play in God's creative plan, not only for our individual lives, but much bigger. I think you all know the Wright brothers. They were a great example. They invented and built the first successful aviation. Because of their dedicated life, we can travel easier and faster to a place far away. But they were not scientists or engineer for a living. Their day job was running a bicycle shop, and they have failed hundreds of times. But they never gave up, and they had a God-sized dream. In the book of Jeremiah, God says, "I know you. I know the plans that I have for you." That is more than a day job. It is something bigger. It is the purpose God uniquely created for each one of us, the piece that we will add to God's mission on earth. So the Wright brothers, they were famous for their work, but not many people know about their father. Their father was the bishop in our faith tradition. His name was Bishop Milton Wright, and he founded United Theological Seminary in Dayton, Ohio, one of 13 United Methodist seminaries. When those two brothers, the Wright brothers, they were young, they spent many days at the seminary. The Bishop Wright, he taught the brothers, nothing is impossible with God. We can take it as nothing is impossible in our lives, even in this pandemic. They were running a bicycle shop for a living, but they had a dream. Then how does it sound to you? Let me tell you, a God-sized dream comes from God. It will always honor God, the first, honor God and bless other people. And the third one is really important as well. Bring you joy. Honor God, bless other people, Success itself doesn't mean it is a God-sized dream. Money, yes, it's really important. Reputation, important. But if it doesn't honor God, bless others, and if it doesn't bring you joy, it is not the success we are running after. Then what is the Bible talking about that when it comes to, when it says dream God's dreams and visions? So today and next week we will talk about that with Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. So Jacob, we have some kind of image about him, but he was a wealthy.
Sorry, something's wrong.
No, not wrong. Jacob was a wealthy and successful business person. He was a sheep farmer. He had a lot of sheep, so many of them. And we read, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. It was a long journey. It was a little bit over 750 miles journey, almost the same distance from here, Sterling, to Washington, D.C. And thinking about, when you think about that, a lot of energies, a lot of times, a lot of sacrifice, without any car or train or any kind of resources. When he reached the certain places almost every day, he had to stop for the night because the sun had set. He needed a place. And he needed water as well. And one day, he found a place. That was an ordinary place. It wasn't what he had in his mind. It wasn't his destination. It wasn't a place he planned. He just needed a place to sleep. Ordinary place. We don't even know where that is. But taking one of the stones over there, he put it under his head. That was his bed. Can you picture his journey? Do you have a restless night just like him? He couldn't sleep well. Do you have restless night of sleep? That was one of the nights he had during the journey. And God uses restless night in our lives as well. Just like his life, to get our attention, to create change, especially when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, in a difficult situation. We may take one of the stones around us, one of the things around us, one of the things we have. But Jacob, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, and its top reaching heaven, and God's angel were ascending and descending on it. Can you picture that? Look at all those dimensions, images. Then let me ask you, does it make sense? How many of your dreams actually do make sense? Maybe the dreams you have during the night or the dreams for your lives. And in our scripture, we find those above, God was there, and God says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendant the land on which you are lying, and you will spread out to the west and east and north and the south, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And I will be with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this place. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. created each of us with a unique part to play in God's creative plan. God is trying to get our attention in our lives so that we can live that plan, that mission. God will not leave us until the plan is fulfilled in our lives. And we call that living the dream. Living the dream. How does it sound to you? How does it sound to you? When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, yes, the Lord is in this place. I didn't know that. I have no idea where it is. He was afraid, yes, of course. But also he said, how awesome it is. I don't know where it is. I don't know where I am standing right now in my lifetime. I don't know what I'm dealing with. I have so many things to take care of. I have so many concerns. I have so many kinds of things to be afraid in my life. But it is the place God is with me. That is what Jacob found. It is the moment an ordinary place becomes an extraordinary place. In our daily lives, we are so busy supporting our families, taking care of many bills. I don't know how many bills you have to take care of. I think I have a few of them. So many things. Sometimes you lose your power. Your basement is flooded, and you have to shovel all the snow. It's freezing outside. You have so many things to take care of. And what about all kinds of relationship and politics at your work and a high level of stress? But throughout the Bible, we find that God uses our dreams. Both in the night and the day to get our attention. In this particular dream, a shift begins in Jacob's focus, and Jacob starts to switch from self-selected life path to God-directed life purpose. It was the shift that needs to take place. When God cannot get our attention, then we have experienced that God will speak to us through our family, friends, neighbors, or in a dream like Jacob. It is about God's direction in our lives, from self-selected life path to God-directed life path. We have our own pattern of our lives, certain patterns of eating, sleeping, and working. I love routine. How about you? I love routine and tradition, something that I can expect. Maybe that's why I love the Book of Discipline and Book of Worship. It tells me a lot about what I'm supposed to do. I feel comfortable and confident because it tells me what to do with my work. Guess what? We have Christmas decoration. It's beautiful. Flowers, candles, Christmas trees, and all the decorations. We know what those means, and we feel comfortable. And every year, when we have Advent season, we put them all because we know that. It's routine. What about you, Sid? Whenever you come, I know, you find your seat all the time. We feel comfortable. I love it. But when it comes to our dreams and ministries, we need to think about that. We need to think about that again if we feel routine and mundane. We need to question why we are doing what we are doing. Because God's dream in our lives is much bigger then we can think and measure. Think about Jacob. He didn't notice that God was there when he was sleeping and standing over there. He didn't expect God's presence and God's dreams for his life was much bigger than what he had ever imagined. And this story is same as ours. We are so busy in our routines with so much noise of everything going on around us and the concerns we are dealing with, but God is right here, right in our lives, present in every single moment of our lives. And God is trying to get our attention in our dream, like Jacob, in our conversation with people around you, and happening, all the happening in our lives. And God speaks to us the vision. I believe at some point in your life, you have found yourself asking the question, is it all? Do we have more? Is there anything else more? At the moment, I hope we don't miss the moment and we try to find God's dream in our lives. Have you questioned yourself, do I need God's dream in my life? What do I have? Is that what Jesus called us to live? I want to talk a little bit about this church. Our beautiful church. It has been technically in this beautiful town of Stirling, technically for 188 years. Not 150 some years. For 188 years. The first settler in this area, his name was Hezekiah Brinks. He moved in town in 1834 with his family. And Mr. Brink, he was surprised, a follower of John Wesley. Yes, John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement. So Mr. Brink, he began a house church in 1834. And 2 years later, William Kirkpatrick settled in this area and his family joined in Brink's Cabin Church, and other settlers joined them. And finally, they had the first circumriding minister, Reverend Barton, J. Cartwright. He visited, nurtured, and encouraged their small group. And they had their first church conference in 1839. From that small cabin church. They began to worship, and they were growing. So they couldn't have the worship in that small cabin, so they began to have worship in a school and later the courthouse east of the 3rd Street. And you know, we share our history with the first UMC. It was built in 1855. 19 years after the first worship in the Mr. Brink's cabin. And 2 years later, Stirling was incorporated as a city, finally, by state law. You see, 20-some years before Stirling became a city, Methodists settled in this town and worshiped God, and about 30 members organized the 4th Street Church, which was our previous name. And the picture we have on the screen is a postcard with the 4th Street Church's picture. Technically, it was mailed on April 2nd, 1909. And the first pastor of the church was Reverend J.H. Arlene. Can you imagine that? 188 years ago, Mr. Brink, and the first circumriding minister, Reverend Cartwright, or the first pastor of this church, the 4th Street Church, I don't think they could could have ever imagined that we are here. Praising God, loving one another and praying for one another and serving and reaching people. You see, it is God's dream for our church. God spoke to God spoke to those saints to go further. Your dream size, it is like this, small size, but I have big plan for your lives. I have big plan for your life. Go on, dream bigger. And I believe God has a big dream for each one of us, you and me, and this beautiful church in 2022. And what do you have? Let's take a pause. Think about that. And listen to God, what God has in our lives. We will continue to talk about God's dream, and during the week, I want to encourage you to do something. And I want you to identify three people you really admire. You want to be like the person. Three people. What is the great things that you think those people exemplify? I tell you mine. The first, it's my father. Oh, yes. He's my role model by his faith and his character. And the second one is one of my professors at college. And the third one is Reverend Phil Blackwell, a retired pastor of our conference. All of those people, they were the people of their word and people of humility and love for God and the people around them. And one of my lifelong mission is to become like those people, even half of them in my faith journey. So during the week, I want to encourage you to find three people that you really admire. Somebody had God's dream in their lives, manifested their love. Somebody who changed your life. And think about that. And we may learn and find God's dream in our lives through that. Let's have it. Amen. So at the beginning of every year since 1755, Methodists have begun the new year with the Holy Covenant, Holy Communion, and renew the covenant with God every year. And the covenant is called the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. So we will do that as tradition. Please stand as you are able. And we will use the original version of the prayer in honor of our precious tradition. You have it on the screen. Let's read it and pray this prayer together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me suffering. Let me be employed for thee, exalted for thee, and brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. As we pray the covenant prayer, We remember Jesus' unconditional love and sacrifice for us through the communion. His body broken. And his blood shed for us. And Jesus invites us to do God's mission, continue his mission in our lives as we take these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, each one of us, and bless us and bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Lord, make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, we may be the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Yes, Lord.